Welcome to season two of Three in the Box. Yes, it is September 4th. We are back. It is our preseason fiasco of a show that we are throwing together. This is the Meat Beast. I am back, and so is Aaron immediately to my right.
Hey, hey, hey.
The beard, the bald head, the myth, the legend. Yes, and then next to him on my left is Kenny.
What up?
I can't see him behind his computer monitor, but also behind me, we've got Jive at the production box.
Hey!
All right, was that too much energy? Did I start off to you? Hey!
Wow!
Now it's all downhill from here.
Yeah, okay, it is September 4th. It's early, but we've been watching enough preseason football and regular football on every television that you walk into any bar and see, and we know what it means.
But what?
What?
It means that hockey's coming.
Soccer's playing?
More or less.
Yeah.
All right. Also, we got to make sure to say, please follow us on Twitter at 3inthebox. That's the number 3, all lowercase, in the box.
So, well, how about we just bust right into this and start talking about our great offseason that we've had.
Oh, yes, yes. And we are going to be Minnesota-centric for those of you that missed part of last season. We are Minnesota-centric. Unfortunately, all
hey,
we got right
Bevin
now.
Missed part of last season, too.
Wild. Yeah, the whole league missed part of
well,
last season.
Well, I mean, I know we don't have this on our rundown, but we should probably just quickly bring up the fact that the Blackhawks are reigning champion of the league.
Yeah, they're holding the cup over their heads and
to think that anybody listening to our podcast would know that, but
They are now our division mates.
They are.
The old Norris division is essentially back together.
Well, Dallas is back with them too.
Getting the band back together.
Stars are back together. Winnipeg, Chicago.
We're basically just missing Detroit, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yep. They kind of decided to go play.
They
in
didn't
the East.
Decide Jacker. They didn't decide anything.
They're too good for,
us. All right.
You're too good for your home.
Way too good for us. So we've got all that to look forward to. The old rivalries reigniting. We don't necessarily have to hate Vancouver anymore.
No, but we can still hate Colorado.
Yeah.
True. And yeah, you know we can still hate Vancouver for good measure.
Yeah. I mean, just for nostalgia, you know.
I might actually start to like Calgary now.
And we'll have to start hating Winnipeg again.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, surely. Considering there's some interesting trades that went on with that, we should probably start with the draft day fun.
So, yeah, the Wild, they missed out on the first-round draft pick. They picked up a bunch of guys. They got Gustav Olofsson, Curtis Gabriel, Dylan Labby, Carson Soucy, Avery Peterson, Nolan DeJong, and Alexander Bélanger, who was taken 200th overall, the only goalie pickup that the Wild made.
Hopefully we can, I don't know what his stats are, but hopefully bring him up into our system and have another solid goaltender.
Well, we're going to need some help considering all the goalies we've let depart.
Our goalie cannot stand up. Tell you what, get some rope.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly if Harding, for whatever reason, medication doesn't hold, Backstrom doesn't stay healthy. I mean, we saw that at the end of last season.
Well, we're not even at free agency yet, so let's...
Well, and we do still have some talent in the pipes. We still have...
I mean, insofar as our conversation topics. I think we should finish up with, say, all the stuff that happened on draft day. And then move on to the free agency stuff and tie in how that works out.
I wasn't even going there, but...
Sure. So, Cal Clutterbuck goes to New York Islanders in return for Nino.
Niederreiter?
Niederreiter? Is that, yeah.
Did I say it?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Knight Rider.
Knight Rider. Yes, he's going to be the Knight Rider. So, cluster beep for Knight Rider.
All right, and Justin Falk was dealt to the Rangers. That's actually how part of the deal that caused us to lose our first round pick. That was all part of the draft day moves with that.
And then
which then gets us onto our free agency fund.
Yeah, well, kind of. As part of all the moves, off-season moves that we've had, the first thing we had to do was the compliance buyouts. And my favorite Wild player ever, Tom Gilbert, is a casualty of said buyout.
Due to lack of the cap room, yeah.
Yeah, I know I will be missing him greatly come playoff time. I know the Chicago Blackhawks will be missing him.
I was wondering when the sarcasm twist was going to finally come back around and get its barb in.
And all of the Central Division will be missing him as well.
Yeah, I'm not sad to see him go.
He was honestly getting paid way too much for what he was doing. Even as a defensive defenseman and a non-offensive defenseman, he was still not that great, and he was getting paid a lot. So, yeah.
So, Matt Cullen ends up going to Nashville. Kind of sad to see him go.
He's a victim of our cap space.
Our cap space is definitely getting a little tight.
And a lot of that goes to...
Goes
a lot to Parisian Suter.
Yeah.
I mean, we're paying them a lot of money.
And Pominville.
And we have a lot of legacy contracts that are taking up space.
But who? Let's see. We also have.
But in order to try to create some space, the Wild also moved Devin Setoguchi to the Jets. I believe got a third round draft pick for that. So it wasn't much. That somewhat disappointed me because initially you think Setoguchi, he's worth more than a third round pick.
More.
However, the thing that I think is it's a point that needs to be made is that Setoguchi also is clogging space for all our talented young forwards that we have coming up through the system that needs to we need to open up. And if Granlin and Coyle and Zucker don't have spots to play, you know, that's going to be a problem. They need to develop. And we're still picking up young forwards. So, Setoguchi has basically hit his peak. And where else is he going to go?
Yeah. It does kind of suck. Because Setoguchi was, even though he was streaky, he was a force to be reckoned with for us.
He picked up this season more than he had previously.
Well, and Cullen as well. Both these are, I actually am pretty upset about. And it all comes down to one thing. Gilbert as well. Heatley being such a melodramatic little... is there a beep queued up so that they don't have to hear me say what I'm about to say?
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
Close enough for country dancing. Making that move, I mean, okay, yes, he was. I don't think he was in the right necessarily fully on that fight in San Jose where he broke his wrist. And we couldn't compliance by him out.
So we're still stuck with him right now.
We're stuck with him, and we're stuck with his salary, which is the bigger thing.
And hence why both Cullen and Gilbert directly, I mean, it was openly said that that's why they were moved or bought out.
Yeah, because the big thing is with the compliance buyouts, is you can only do a buyout if the guy has been cleared by medical staff. And Heatley wasn't. He wasn't ready. He was too close to the playoff time shortly into the season when he got, hurt. So he wasn't ready, and he couldn't be bought
out. And he really needed to protect that last year of his contract.
Yeah.
Well, hockey is so violent and dangerous.
Yeah, speaking of hockey being violent and dangerous, right after we cleared up some cap space, we ended up picking up Matt Cook for a 3-year contract. Now, many of you Wild fans out there are not a huge fan of Matt Cook. Neither am I. I think he's a dirty player. He's definitely gone after Wild players in the past. And now you got that guy skating with you. It's going to be interesting to see how he's perceived amongst his teammates.
Zucker, competitive violent. That's why you're here.
Where do you sit on this?
I was going to argue. Everybody's approached me saying he's turned the corner. He's playing more straight-ahead hockey now. And I have to argue, even though he's playing clean now, he definitely looks like he's playing a lot more clean. He's still going to spend so much time in the box. And we've lost so many people that are integral to our penalty kill and our special teams that this could be a bad thing overall. It could be good. I mean, the guy is a stud on the ice. We can't deny that.
I will say a couple things on this as far as Cook goes. I actually work with some people that live in Pittsburgh and a couple – Penguins season ticket holders, and they've all echoed Matt Cook isn't as bad as he's made out to be. I think he's one of those guys, much not unlike Clutterbuck. He just gets under people's skin.
Yeah,
And we lost Clutterbuck, so we need another guy like that. And if we can get a guy like Clutterbuck who actually score, which Cook can score, where Clutterbuck fail pretty badly last year and be able to do that.
He did.
And we also don't want to have a situation where somebody that potentially could be getting into a fight will accidentally break their wrist and cause us not to be able to do a compliance buyout on them.
I guess, I mean, I would rather take a Matt Cook over Bertuzzi.
Oh, yeah, no, like I said.
I'd rather take Kim Jong-il over Hitler.
See, I don't think it's that bad.
Yes, now you see what I'm getting at.
I actually don't think it's that bad. I think he has very much cleaned up his game and is not nearly as cheap shotty as he was, and he's not getting the suspensions he used to. He's actually playing more clean, straight-ahead hockey, and he is actually great on the ice.
So you think
I do think we need to look at our penalty kill, however.
You think he's going to be taking over Setoguchi's spot?
He's going to take over Setoguchi and Clutterbuck's spot.
And Collins.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll probably have to cover for Heatley for the first couple of months.
Second line forward?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I guess he could be a third line, but,
it,
you know.
It really depends.
He's getting paid like a second line guy, you know.
It really depends on
how many of the guys that we have that were getting paid as second line guys that were playing on the fourth line last year.
It really depends on how the chemistry goes overall with the lines. You know, that's what Yo's mainly going to look at. And he'll probably look at how the chemistry is going to go when they pull up people to sub in for the main lines.
Right. Well, and that, I mean, I know you brought up the we're overpaying for fourth line guys, but I think it speaks more to the fact that the guys that we had that we were paying last year weren't performing, you know?
Very true.
And you got to figure, you know, a guy like Clutterbuck, that isn't a Fletcher guy. That's a Riseborough guy.
Yeah.
You know? So right now, I think aside from Koivu and maybe Backstrom, those, I think those might be the only
Harding.
Two
Harding, definitely.
I mean, those might be the only guys that were with the Wild.
PMV?
PMV's gone.
Oh, he's gone.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to it yet, but yes, PMV is gone.
So it's like there's not many many Wild players left that were around when Fletcher was started.
All with the old and with the new.
Yeah. I mean, it has been 5 years now, so.
Which, yeah, I think brings us to our next topic.
Yeah, I want to say Brodziak was still in the line, wasn't he? Wasn't Brodziak
part of the Riseborough? May have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking down the rest of the list real quick, trying to see. And, well, Veju was part of that, but he came back. He was gone and came back.
Fletcher made a
year.
Conscious decision to pick him up, so I'm going to make him Fletcher's guy now. But
yeah, exactly. And, yeah, then the goalies and Koivu.
Yes. Yep. But as long as we're talking about pickups, the Wild also signed Keith Ballard to a 2-year deal.
That makes me very happy.
I'm very happy, especially to have another Minnesota homeboy.
And we also, we're all very familiar with him with his time with Vancouver.
Yes.
I mean, we've all seen him play a ton.
He's an amazing defenseman. We need some defensive depth, and I'm very happy we got another veteran in there. I think that's going to really help our D-line. Tremendously,
we needed depth there, and I mean, we got rid of we get rid of Falk and we get rid of Gilbert, but even though they're not the greatest players, we still have depth issues there, and I don't think we've really shored that up. We'll see how things go. But,
I'm extremely happy with that pickup.
Yeah,
that one definitely made me smile quite a bit. And also, it is a Winter Olympic hockey season. So far, they haven't announced us boycotting it, but...
Yet.
But Parisi, Suter, and Bax are part of the U.S. team leadership group. Pominville, not invited, but he's said to be on the board.
Yeah, and they're kind of... They're like, I think it is just saving face, like, oh, yeah, we didn't include him, but, you know, if someone drops out, we might bring him on.
Or if there's an injury.
You're right, so...
He didn't do a whole lot with the Wild in
his
short time frame.
He got injured right away.
Yeah, he did get hurt. And
he got hurt and was out and then came back right as we had our last, two games?
Yeah, playoff time.
And I know we don't have it on the list, but also just it's coming up over the recent couple days that the Wild in Pominville, his people are still going back and forth trying to work out an extension to his current contract.
I think if they can figure something out, having a full season, I think he could be a huge asset.
Yeah, I
could actually have a pretty all-star team happening in our top three lines again.
Yeah, I think Pominville gets a little bit dogged over his short sample size of with the Wild last year. But I think things will be better with a full camp, you know.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. I think the injury sucked, and it was one that was deliberate to him to take him out.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and therefore somebody was intentionally trying to take him out after we spent the money on him.
Hockey is so violent and dangerous.
Also, speaking of U.S. hockey, I don't know if you guys have seen the home and away sweaters, but they've got fake laces on them.
Fake
laces, like, you know, like the laces that where your neck would be.
Yeah,
like on the red jersey,
like the Wild jerseys have.
Yeah,
except
fake. Except fake.
They're actually they've got like these ugly, almost satin like stars on like the shoulders, like the upper body, with the same style of laces going down.
Oh God, Jerome, tell me that you've got "I'm a Real American" in the queue there. I want to hear that Hulk Hogan anthem right about now.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of them, but
47-inch pythons.
Moving on.
Wow, this one right on you, brother.
What you gonna do when Hulkamania runs wild on you?
And then the Undertaker came in. Oh. Wait,
Tucker, competitive violent. That's why you're here.
So Tyler Kuma resigned with the Wild for a 1-year, 2-way contract.
Is anyone?
I'm not surprised.
I mean, he was a top draft pick in 2008.
Yeah,
for
being still as young as he is, he's been playing some awesome hockey. The fact that he still has a 2-way contract, he can still develop down in Iowa.
And I know injuries have kind of held him back. So the hope is that he can finally get a full season in and actually be ready for the Wild at some point in the season when the inevitable injuries happen, you know.
Yes.
But speaking of depth signings, the Wild also signed two older D-men, not necessarily veterans, but Jonathan Blum, who spent time with Nashville, and John Landry, who's bounced around between the AHL and ECHL, both signed for 2-way contracts. Blum is one of those guys where I believe he's a defenseman. He might have be a depth signing on D if we need help there. It's not a bad situation.
All right, so Darcy Kanfer re-signed a 1-year, 2-way contract.
Yes, he did. And Backstrom re-signed as well. Hopefully this year he doesn't have to be leaned on like a life preserver to try and be the only person in the pipes for the team. Hopefully Yo learned his lesson on that and will occasionally skate whoever's in the backup position just to rest him.
And that was one of the things last year where, you know, Backstrom was just ridden and, you know, hit playoff time and all of a sudden, oh, he's got a sports hernia. Who'd have saw that coming, you know? I mean, Kemper played well. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
He could have started many of the games.
And he could have got more
and
season.
Rested. Yeah, well, rested Backstrom and let him get some more seasoning.
Yeah, so, I mean, not to downplay how well Kemper played during the playoffs, you know, and really the Wild...
Or Backstrom through the run leading up to the playoffs.
Right, I mean, yeah.
Our goalie cannot stand up. Tell you what, get some roll.
And on that chipper soundbite, I will have to bring up the two times we were down by 6 goals early in the game.
This is true.
Shut up!
But we also weren't scoring goals. You don't get
That's
down.
That's also part of the point.
You don't get down by 6 by not, you know, by scoring a lot. You know?
Exactly.
All right.
So since we're talking about the postseason, might as well go down to postseason awards.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
The first step was Jonas Brodin being named to the All-Rookie team. And Suter being posthumously named to the first All-Star team, considering there was really no All-Star game to be had.
Well, of course that was going to happen.
I mean, that's our top D-line. They're both awarded, you know, first-line spots. That's not a bad spot to be in, you know.
Well, we talked about Harding getting nominated for the Masterson, that it should be a no-contest thing. It was. He took it.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knew. The fact that he ended up leaving the first week of the season and then was out until just before the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah, he came back and he played a ton of games. While pretty much brought the Wild through the 7-6 playoff games that they made.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
I want to say it was 5 or 6, but still.
And I think he was a unanimous vote.
Surprisingly,
because Sid Crosby was one of the finalists, and because it was battling of the concussions. I'm surprised
Harding didn't have a concussion.
I'm surprised there wasn't at least a Homer vote for Crosby somewhere, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure there was at least. Oh no, you said it was unanimous.
I think it was unanimous. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all for Harding on that one.
Yeah, we all were.
Well, speaking of those, Suter got snubbed for the Norris Trophy. A lot is said due to the lack of media presence in quote-unquote flyover country.
Right.
Yeah, we're not in the main media outlets here in the Midwest.
Well, that and he was probably hurt by the fact that we're doing the short season where we only played versus West. And there is a noted East Coast bias.
Yes.
And if we're never playing against those East Coast teams, especially Toronto and Montreal, where a big part of the hockey media exists, you know, there's going to be a problem garnering votes for people like him because, you know what, beat writers just aren't going to see him.
Yeah. You know? And especially, like you said, those major hockey markets. But you'd think they'd at least look at the stats.
Well,
outskated everybody every single game by the next closest was good 3 to 7 minutes per game behind him.
His time on ice was great, but the rest of his numbers were
also phenomenal.
No, his assists, he was like second in defenseman assists.
Yeah.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was crushing everybody. On almost every cat, if he wasn't first, he was second, and he had everybody beat in at least 2 out of 3 categories.
Yeah, I mean, it's really quite a shame. That's about the best I can do.
Yeah,
yeah, kind of a groaner on that one.
On a lighter note, so actually, I think I'm gonna let Kenny take this one because he added this and. I think it's good, but I want to let Kenny handle this one.
So Clayton Stoner decided to, you know, he took part in a grizzly bear hunt lottery in British Columbia. Him and his dad have been hunting up that way since he was a kid, and some of the British Columbians were a little offended of the photo he took with him and his prize grizzly bear that he shot.
It sounds like it was more the city that tried to ban the hunting, whereas the county government had issued the permits.
Yeah,
and therefore, it was a totally legal thing.
No, it was completely legal. It was a limited entry lottery system.
The bad thing is that the local citizens decided to name. I don't know. Was it
Cheeky.
Stoner or was it the local citizens who decided to name the bear?
They named it Cheeky.
I wasn't sure if he named it or if the local. And it was a lottery. There was a very limited entry to be able to hunt a bear and
okay.
get one tag.
Here's the visual I'm having. They're in camp. A bear walks up and starts licking Clayton Stoner. He screams, "They're coming right at us!" Shoots the bear.
They're
in the
coming
head.
Right for us. It was self defense.
Shoots the bear in the head.
So apparently, he had beheaded the bear, and head trophy. So now this is Puck Daddy and Vancouver's son going, like it's a combination of both. Cheeky was one of the local favorites, a 5-year-old grizzly, because of his tendency to pop his head up into the local camps and stick out his tongue. So now apparently Cheeky's head belongs to Stoner, and according to Puck Daddy, as for the rest of Cheeky's body, Coastal First Nation said in a release that it was skinned and left to rot in the field.
And okay. There's no one to stop it because there are no officials on the ice.
Speaking of the First Nations Coastal Guardian Watchman Program, Robert Johnson, who works for them, actually spoke to Stoner, and it tried to explain the unofficial ban. And in a quote, Stoner respectfully said he still had the legal right to hunt there. Now, apparently the First Nations Coastal Guardian Watchman Program doesn't really have any power, because that was enough for him to go, okay.
So,
let me check your tag. Great, cool. It's like the park board. They come up and check and make sure you got your fishing tags.
Well, First Nations, that's like Indians, so... Native
Canadian?
Yeah, Native Canadians.
Native North American?
Well, and at that point, it's a little... That's not Inuit. That might be Aleutian.
No, it's basically...
I'm trying to name the tribe.
If you go over the... Yeah.
Let's not insult any other races.
Yeah, let's... Yeah.
Cultures.
But, yeah, I mean...
This coming from... This is... Oh, my God.
Hey, they're not French.
Oh, somebody give me a beer quick. Oh, good God. Everybody, please get your calendars out and mark September 4th as the day that Kenny asked people to be respectful of other people's race.
So this means no more French jokes here?
Oh, hell no.
Oh, you're already backsliding, man.
Are there going to be any more Hitler comments this year?
Oh, you can't guarantee that.
Possibly.
You're a big boy. Use your big boy word.
So on another topic.
Oh, God. Listen to the archives of last season to find out what we're talking about here while we kind of laugh ourselves into people.
That would be the episode titled The Wee Wee Frog Frog.
Speaking of, hey, Aaron, when you were in France, did you happen to say that at all?
No, but I was very tempted to.
All right.
Oh, boy.
On a different note, the Wild have announced new away sweaters. Thoughts, comments? It's been a few days since they released them.
I was hoping for more of a script that said Minnesota, not necessarily the coyote logo with
Bearcat
logo with the pine trees in the middle.
Yeah, see, my big deal on it was, out of the three options I saw that they had thrown out, one, I like the shoulders. I really like the way the shoulders look and the lower arm. I like I like how they streamlined it a bit and made it a little more old school like they have with the other jerseys that they've been moving towards. The problem I have is that they used the old style logo for the away jersey as opposed to going to either the circle pattern from the red jersey or the text like they did with the green jersey.
Yeah.
The circle pattern still has that logo in the middle.
It has it, but it doesn't look as offensive.
It's not as prominent.
And they still use that on the shoulders, too.
Yeah. It's still on the shoulders. The circle logo, right?
Yeah, which makes it even weirder why they put it on the shoulders.
The circle logo on the belly.
Because on the other jerseys, they put the... You know, the normal logo just on the shoulders.
You know what, though? I do like the fact that it has the horizontal piping around the arms rather than the vertical going up and down.
Agreed.
I'm most happy that they got rid of the cheesy, jaggedy, wild numbers on the back.
Yes, and went to a straight number.
Yeah,
like
just the
old school font number wise.
The block
numbers. I totally agree with you.
So I'm happy about that. But
overall, it's an improvement.
It's a step
I think
in the right
we can
direction.
All agree with that.
Yeah, it's better. It's still not good, I don't think.
Why does everything have to be so retro? That's all I got to say. They look too damn retro.
I don't know that they look too retro, but...
What do you want? You want them wearing like laser tag outfits?
I'm tired of all the throwback. I mean, these days, with technology, you can make... cool-looking freaking designs on shit. And it's
have you looked at some of the international sweaters? Do you want it to look like a NASCAR car?
Yes!
Do you want it to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Running Man?
Yes!
Do you want it to look like the Art Deco Coyotes jerseys from the mid-90s?
No, I want them to use like wireless electric or wireless energy. And do like Tron like stuff and have them like glowing and shit like
that,
man.
That'd be kind of cool.
Do you want it to look like the, do you want it to look like, was it the Rockford Bulldogs that had those salsa jerseys for Cinco de Mayo?
The Chi-Chi's dirty jerseys?
Do you want it to look like that?
What about the old LA King sweaters?
Yes. Exactly.
Baby blue?
No. I'll have to pull up a picture for you, man. If you look, I think it's on hockey jerseys or something like that. There's an old Kings jersey. I don't know, late 90s.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Rather than actual, you know, little badges and sewn on stuff, it was like almost like a
screen print.
Screen print or dye sublimation, and it's a King like character on the jersey. It looks
terrible. Like a high school jersey.
Except worse.
Like one of the Rockford jerseys.
Yes.
All right, nice.
Terrible.
Nice. I kind of like that.
All right, so Jamie Langenbrunner is looking for a job. He's currently a UFA. Would like to maybe play for the Wild. Looking at the Wild's cap space currently, it looks like they've got about 2.7 mil available.
Yeah, but and he's been very vocal that he would love to play for the Wild.
Minnesota native.
However, you know, he's older now.
38.
His production has dropped off. And the Wild have been pretty vocal about not wanting to bring people in for tryouts for the fear that they might just clog the system down and not allow some of these young kids like Niederreiter or Zucker or Coyle or Granlund to actually develop in camp.
Well, and also on that same note, one thing we didn't talk about on the re-signings, Justin Fontaine is re-signed for a one-year two-way contract and was the Houston Aero's leading scorer from last year and is a Duluth National champ.
That's another one, yeah. And
to make sure there's still room for people like that in the system, it's a valid argument to say...
But at the same point, the Wild are putting a lot of faith in the youth.
They are. Maybe it wouldn't be a bad thing to bring a veteran in who has two rings already.
And he's got experience playing with Farizi, too.
He does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, being a Minnesota native, let him finish out his career here. Because more than likely, he'll probably have one more year left at the very most. I'm sure the Wild could get him for maybe about a mil and a half.
Right. I mean, if you can lowball him, and I don't see
lowball
how
him do a two-year deal, my argument.
It seems like a no-brainer. I mean,
no, it's not going to be a two-year deal. It'll be like what... what's his name did from Dallas? Old North Star.
Madonna
when he went to go play with Detroit, going back to his hometown.
Yeah, the Wild shouldn't need to commit to more than 1 year.
No, give him a one-year deal
with
for like
option.
With like a mil and a half contract. You know, he might actually make a big impact on some of the younger players.
I totally agree with that. And Aaron,
speaking of younger players, Iowa Wild are brothers of the South. They have now named a head coach, Kurt Kleindorst. He was the head coach of AHL's Binghamton Senators, who actually won the Calder Cup over Yo's Houston Aeros 2-3 years ago.
Yeah,
Yo's last year with Houston. It could be a good pickup. I mean, he's been around for a long time. I think the bigger message is that hey Yo, if you don't do well,
hey Yo.
Hey, yo, if you don't do well this year, we got another guy who actually beat you before.
We'll replace you.
Yeah. And that is something that definitely needs to be talked about here and there. And there have been times where we have definitely cursed Yo's name.
Yeah. I mean, I personally think this is going to be Yo's last year if he doesn't get deep in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That seems to be a coach's lifespan. 3 years, you don't do it. And you're gone.
Yep.
And that kind of brings us close to the end of the show. But we realized here at Three in the Box in our leadership huddle that we did while we hastily put together our show notes, hence all the stop and erratic motions of our show this evening.
This is right after the trust fall.
Yeah, right after our trust fall and our team building exercises, we started looking at what we could do to better
my head
our
still
fans.
Hurts from hitting the floor. Thanks, Josh.
Like I was going to catch you. Anyway, we did realize we've been doing one thing very negligently. We haven't been offering you as the listeners of our show enough. And those of you that have listened to the end, you get the first knowledge of this. We're looking at possibly, if there's enough interest, throwing together a shuttle run down to Iowa and filling up a bus, getting a package deal on hotels, and we may very well have a silly contest to win a couple of free seats on that bus and free hotel to go see the Arrows play in Iowa. The Wild play in Iowa. The Iowa Wild. What's that?
Is that all?
Oh, apparently somebody needs a beer.
Or he's saying we might go down to Iowa and get puckin' drunk.
There we go.
We very will be getting puckin' drunk while we're down there. And it will be a fun time to be had, for sure. If you're interested, please set it up. Hit us up on our Facebook page to let us know you're interested.
Or Twitter.
Follow us there. We will, if we are doing this, we will definitely have a contest to give away a couple of free seats in a free hotel room with free tickets to the games for that weekend. It'll be a weekend trip and just a fun time to be had by all.
But on top of that, your hotel room will be accompanied by one of us rock stars because you'll be sharing a room. Disclaimer.
Well, we're not sure yet. We're still trying to set up all the details.
Do we want to promise that? That might be a privilege for some.
It could be a privilege.
I think right now, since we're still in the planning phases on this, and this is still a conceptual notion that we're trying to check interest on.
Yeah. So if you're interested, drop us a line, on Twitter at 3inthebox, or hit any one of us.
Or
on
hit
Twitter.
Us on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
3inthebox. It's /3inthebox, if I remember correctly.
That sounds right.
And or you can hit me up on Facebook /TheMeatBeast.
And with that, you can now also hit me on Twitter at AaronGNP. When I'm not doing that, I'm doing this band thing called Pinrot.
Or you can hit me, Kenny, at RottenK999 on Twitter.
Jive.
Or you can follow me at Jive Midnight, JIVE, mid. And then NIGHT.
Wow, you ran out of characters or something?
I think so.
Hey, Herbeck, buy a vowel. Come on. All right, thank you very much for listening. This is 3inthebox. We'll be here all season. As the Gophers in the high school scene starts to ramp up, we'll be covering that as well. Everybody want to say goodnight?
Peace out.
Later.
See ya!
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
Night, everybody.